Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about...
Sorry, I had a quick break then. This is essentially a belief of things are alive, have a will, sort of a organic will to occupy and dominate, sort of animalistic instinct, the German living room, the will of the dictator. And this is very much, if you look at the United States philosophy at the moment, the United States has got the will to be the preeminent power. Well, where's the logic in it? It's just, you know, is the United States just technically better? Or is the fact that it is technically better, it's got a bigger army, mean that it's a self-fulfilling prophecy? But there's actually, at the end of the day, no logic in it. And this is interesting in that this is sort of as Kant is a reaction to Newton, Schopenhauer is a bit of a reaction to Kant, and again from Kant. This is incredibly, I suppose, for me, interesting. You have Hegel, who is, sandwiched between Schopenhauer and Kant, coming up with this idea of a dialectic discussion. And very interestingly, that both these people, Schopenhauer helps the Prussian police shoot dictators from his high apartment, and Hegel, who's interested in getting a job with the German state, writes this drivel and theory. I'm going to have to reread him again just to burn it into my head. This dialectic drivel, which is actually not rigorous truth. It's really interesting, the number of people who use the "it's right because it feels right." Descartes, you know, one of the most worshipable sort of Dabney, sort of like, he's the Julio Iglesias, or he's the Tom Jones, you know, the philosopher you croon to. He's just, because who's another, Voltaire, these beautiful, beautiful people who can just speak such beautiful, beautiful language. But he's Descartes, his truth is something which really feels true. And you look at David Hume, this appealing to, because they don't have the logic to be truth, or I suppose they are in the academic thing of citing people, the academic view. They can't go through. It is interesting that, say, David Hume and Descartes, both, I suppose Descartes was associated universities, both, or David Hume, at most, could be a librarian. And it's interesting that in terms of these people. Oh, God, there's something glowing on the ground here. You'd have a look at this. This is unusual. Sorry about this. What the heck is that? So this is... Oh. That someone has thrown out a McDonald's, yeah, driving along, has thrown out a McDonald's, a McDonald's cat. canister, and I really should have picked it up. But look, it's feeding him. It's glowing in the fucking dark. Sorry, there's another one over here. I think I couldn't have done it. What the heck? Sorry, I just... Okay, just look at this most amazing thing. Wow. These... Oh, it's so... So depressing. So, I know, absolutely, I don't know, it's the light, it's just white, and it's like this thing like glowing there, and I don't know whether it's iridescent. There's this, just a side thing that, just once in army, just once, only happened once, there was a new moon, completely dark, and the moss on these rocks glowed a very dull green iridescent glow. Now, and the people I was with had never seen it before. It was one of these things, a rock here, and I just couldn't describe it. This moss on rocks, and that didn't glow any other night. They've never seen it before, never again. We don't know what it was, and of course, what would happen is when people would walk over it, they disturb it, and you see footprints in it. And so occasionally, you see it, and there's been other times where I have been walking at night, and in certain conditions, there will be this eerie green or gold glow in a valley, and you can see it glow, and it's very, very dark, and you can just see the outlines of trees and this glow behind it, and a lot of people in the bush have never seen it. Except I've encountered two people who say, yes, I know what you see. And so that was pretty scary for me. Just to see. So there's lots of white things about. There's sort of white poles about. But this, for some reason, had taken... These cups, this mineral cup, had taken on the glow. Now, it is pretty dark here, right? Had taken on the glow of the place. And... You can see it here. So I'm sort of getting out of that. Yeah, what I wanted to say is that so when you look at it, Hegel and Seneca. All of the vastly different situations. One was in the employee, was basically the Sarah Huckabee of the president of Nero, and Hegel is sort of like this wannabe person. And the interesting thing about Hegel, it's his children who promoted him, and I think he would have been lost unless he wasn't he was a very publishable person in German, and Karl Marx was German, and it was in the age of people who believed they were academics, these people, there was an age, Mendeleev, all these people, if they wanted to be academics, what they would do is grow beards and write big books. And the books would just go on and on and on. So if you read Das Kapital, talking about philosophy, it goes on and on. Chapter 33 is a chapter other chapters, it's about other things. And is it logical? I dare say no, not. You don't get a chance to stop because they are chatting. You know, you're prepared to say, stop, would you like to mathematically model this? Okay, I've written what you said down in an equation. Where's the... X course is going to be unstable because of it. But that not being said, it's sort of like this social thought. And in a certain sense, if you actually look at what David Hume is saying, that I actually say, stop trying to be scientific and just say, people discuss sentimental things, how they feel. You can actually bring everything down. I think it's when people talk through their emotions and convert it into action that we're in trouble both ways. When they talk through their emotions, their greed and their pride, they will act in such a way such that it will dominate a communal resource and take it. They will actually basically, through different activities, steal from the group. That is, they may not follow process, they may get a position of power, to exercise the power. They will then manipulate their position to increase the power beyond what it should be. So that's the the story there. So it is very interesting. Now that I'm reading David Hume, it does seem a vital point that we should perhaps go back to rather than using science to deconstruct it, rather than block them, guide them forward, say, look, if you want to reject science, here's someone else who doesn't use science, but they've said these things about what you're saying, which comes through. Yeah, I think I've covered philosophers. There's the absolute philosophers, like David Ross and Saul, people who are beautiful storytellers. There's also not experimental, but a way of thinking. I was trying to think of it. Rawlsian justice. That is that if you come up with a system, a solution that affects multiple people, that is a solution is equitable if it is acceptable. The solution, if there's another, I don't believe the amount of rubbish these people have chucked out. So there's another one glowing there, but now it's not bright. There's lights on the horizon, so you can see what's going on. Yes, Walton in justice. So this is not an area of philosophy, but a mechanism that is that. For a system of justice, you should be able to write it so it makes sense from all participants and all parties. So this is, what can I say, a mechanism that you go through. It's also, you're hearing this long walk. That must be, I don't know, 2 hours, something like that. But in general, people. Oh, Christ, I nearly rolled my ankle there. So, this is because it is pitch black around here. Yeah, it's very interesting that people are sort of. Taste test dishes of thought. They know that they eat things, do familiar things, and think familiar things, and have a way, are very familiar with rejecting ideas. And so they'll look at something and very much they'll leave the idea with them and not doing a second bit. You do a second bit which adds, say, computer science or something that they're unfamiliar with, they quickly shuts down. Okay, so that's the end of this talk, where I thought I'd discuss a few philosophers and just my old member. Thanks a lot for listening.
Another podcast, another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.